They've raised the bar on Rochester Sports Talk. You're in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Welcome back into the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia joining us now from the land of 10,000 locks, our superhero of the spread. It's Thor Nystrom, who's doing great work over there with Matthew Berry at the Fantasy Life. Thor, it's good to have you on with us, buddy. Ready for another great weekend of college and pro football?
Absolutely, yeah. Always good to join you, boys.
Yeah, it's we're looking forward to having this playoff format for the first time, and already feels like we got some sort of quasi-playoff games. When I look at Georgia-Ole Miss, I'm not sure, Thor, if Ole Miss can afford another loss here. How do you view this matchup here, Georgia and Ole Miss?
Yeah, they definitely can. Ole Miss is they need to win out to make the college football playoff, and this is a tough circumstance for them because Ole Miss is one of the more banged up teams in the Power Four. I was looking at their injury report this week, and it looked like a receipt you get at Menards or something with all the line items. It was one of the biggest ones I've ever seen in the SEC, a conference where you have to turn in injury reports, and they got, you know, injuries at running back, receiver. Their top guy, Trey Harris, doesn't look right now like he'll play. He's missed time. Looks like he'll miss another game. So they're going to be out offensive weapons. They have a bunch of injuries on defense as well. It's tough. Jackson Dart is going to have to be a one-man show here. So, I mean, at least he has his Heisman opportunity. But, yeah, like, against that ridiculous Georgia front seven, you'd figure that could counteract that. And Georgia's offense should be able to just pound them. If Carson Beck can avoid mistakes, Carson Beck has been throwing interceptions in bunches, Georgia could win that one by double digits. But that's one to watch, because the one advantage Ole Miss has in that game, in my opinion, is the quarterback position.
Another massive SEC matchup on Saturday as well, with Alabama traveling to Death Valley and taking on LSU. And Alabama's been kind of like this Jekyll and Hyde team throughout the course of the season, Thor, but they find themselves in the mix. What's your take on this matchup?
Yeah, so LSU, Garrett Nussmeier is going to have a fabulous game here. And what makes this tough for LSU is Alabama's pass defense is elite. But Nussmeier, like, I really like Nussmeier. I think he's a first-round quarterback. I think that highly of him as a prospect. But, yeah, this is going to have to be his show. They need to win that one through the air, and that is going into the strength of the Alabama defense. That's the key to this matchup. Can Nussmeier solve that pass defense? If he can, Alabama's going to win that one easy. But LSU has that puncher's chance because of the passing game and because of Nussmeier. And this is a fascinating matchup because this is a true loser-leaves-town game. I mean, this is almost a sort of a playoff game, right? I mean, like, the Alabama, I believe, in the first CFP rankings that were unveiled, they were the last team in as one of the wild cards. And I think LSU was the second-to-highest wild card out, you know, so, like, the second team out. The winner of this game is going to catapult up those rankings and be ranked higher next week in the playoff seeding, whereas the loser, their college football playoff chances have been snuffed out.
We're talking to Thor Nystrom as we're taking a look here at the action. I like this game tomorrow, Missouri and Oklahoma, but we've seen some line movement here with the quarterback injury. Oklahoma at 5-4, Missouri at 6-2. How do you play this one, Thor?
Yeah, Missouri has just been a weird team all season long. I mean, Oklahoma too. It's kind of a tough one to put your finger on, but yeah, with Brady Cook, Nate Noel has also banged up their running back. But then again, I mean, Oklahoma's been banged up all year. You know, their receiving corps has been like a legitimate mash unit. There's been games that, like, they had their top five receivers out. So this is one that I am staying as far away from as possible. I like to have action on all the games, but these are just two of the most bizarre teams in the FBS, and they both are dealing with injuries. And we have to see the actives we got out. You mentioned the line movements of the market. You know, there's some people are confident in the market about, you know, who is going to play and who is not, but I'm not. I got to wait until kickoff on that and see who's in there. But yeah, pregame, I won't have any action on that one.
Now, if BYU BYU right now in the college football playoff, they would get a bye, right, Thor? I mean, they're having this unbelievable season, undefeated, and now they've got to really prove themselves traveling to Utah to take on the Utes. And I think this is such a compelling matchup here that has ramifications of the postseason. Tell us a little bit about what you think about Utah hosting BYU on Saturday.
Yeah, it definitely is. And this is one, you know, if you're a BYU fan, I think you're biting your fingernails on this. I mean, this is going to be a tougher matchup than it appears on the surface. Obviously, Utah is only 4-4, and they've had the offensive issues all season. But the in particular, Utah, it's been the passing, because Cam Rising, you know, once again, he's injured for the season. They're having to start a young quarterback. But Utah can run the ball a little bit. I mean, every single year they can run a little bit. The running game this year, not quite as good as in years past, but Micah Bernard, their starting running back, is averaging just a tick over 6 yards a carry. In the way that you attack BYU, it's attacking their run defense. They have a really, really good pass defense. So I would expect Utah to skew even more conservative than usual. And Utah has this solid defense. And BYU, you know, I've appreciated the way they played this year. And they're solid in every phase, and they're very well coached. So it's like they're greater than the sum of their parts. But you have to say they don't have any star power on offense. And Utah's defense is legitimate. You know, they're going to come after you, get after the quarterback. They're solid against the run. They're really good against the pass. So this one is going to be nip and tuck. I expect this one to go late into the fourth quarter, and Utah having the home field advantage in this one. This is not one that I would carve in stone as a BYU win in advance.
Yeah, interesting. Thor Nystrom, our guest here, MB Fantasy Life. We're going to be paying attention to one of these games in the late afternoon window tomorrow on CBS. Michigan and Indiana. And Thor, because the Bills are playing the Colts this week, we're talking to a Colts guest, and you know, the fans there for the Colts are kind of, well, they're paying more attention to college football in Indiana these days with Notre Dame in the top 10. And here you have this Indiana team taking on Michigan. Set us up for this one tomorrow, because, my gosh, if you weren't a believer in the Hoosiers, what if they went to 10-0, Thor?
Yeah, Kirk Cignetti, obviously this is the story of the season so far, and it reminds me so much of when I was an undergrad at Kansas and Mark Mangino turned around that moribund Jayhawks program. In my last year there, they ended up going to the Orange Bowl and beating Virginia Tech. And we have an immediate turnaround here with Cignetti. And you know, people might be surprised. Cignetti overturned the entire roster. He didn't get as much criticism for that as Deion Sanders did, but I mean, he basically did the same thing. And then what Cignetti's special skill is, it's both the scouting of the players, but in the game weeks, I don't know if there is a better coach at grinding the film and then coming up with opponent-specific game plans. Can Indiana be beat? For sure. But it's going to have to be by a team that has more firepower than them. Michigan has the one-handed offense. They can't throw the ball whatsoever. So you load up on their run game. And Michigan's defense has had some injuries, maybe not quite as good as we thought they could be heading into this season. Indiana should be able to – they're not going to go off against that Michigan defense on offense, but they're going to score enough points here, because I think the undersold story is Indiana's – you know, everybody knows their offense has gotten a lot better. So has their defense. If you look at SP+, the offense is 14th SP+. The defense is 18th, which is pretty stunning turnaround in and of itself. They're also 12th in special teams SP+. So you want to talk about a team that is rock solid in every single phase. Michigan is in trouble here, for sure.
Hey, Thor, mentioned the projections for the college football playoff bracket. Did you have any issues with any placement from what we saw earlier this week?
I actually didn't. So I have a system that projects the college football playoff field, and I was curious how that would do just because we hadn't seen an unveiling of the 12-team field before. I actually got all 12 of the teams. We'll see if that's the case going forward. Some of the seeding was just slightly different. You know, for instance, I had Miami in the number 2 slot and Georgia 3. The committee had that thing flipped around. But I think they did a really good job, to be honest. Like, in the moment that we're in for the first one that they unveiled, it was pretty much just hitting the ball down the fairway. There was nothing crazy in there. So I think they did a really good job with it. And And it gets you even more excited for that first 12-team playoff we're going to see here in you know, starting in a month and a half or so.
Thor, it's never too soon to start talking about the NFL draft. And to me, it doesn't seem like, or at least from what I read, what I hear, the quarterbacks that are coming out, is there a clear-cut number one? How many guys do you think could actually help a franchise in 2025?
I can't say clear-cut. Shedeur Sanders is going to be my QB1. He has been, and he will be. But Cam Ward, who's my quarterback too, some people are going to rank him one, and I'm not going to argue too hard against that. The improvement that Cam Ward has had this year, you know, coming from Washington State, it's been incredible. Like, his big time throw rate is way up. His A dot is way up. His yards per attempt is way up. And despite that, he has cut his turnover worthy play rate significantly. So he is being more aggressive and more successful with that, despite not, you know, putting the ball up for grabs as much. So it's a pretty incredible dichotomy. His pocket awareness has gotten so much better. He's so calm in the pocket. And he's always been able to put the ball on the string and throw from multiple angles. So he will be in contention. But yeah, for me, it's Shedeur, then Cam Ward, and Garrett Nussmeier is my third quarterback. You know, like I mentioned before, I think he's a legitimate first round prospect. This is a big game for him this coming weekend against Alabama. So there's still time here, of course, but he would be my three. And on the other side of that game, Jalen Milroe, he's my four. Milroe is the boomer bust guy. If he's in this April's draft, it's really interesting because he has all the physical tools, but there's still rawness there. You know, I mean, he can throw the ball a mile. He's the fabulous athlete. He always has the defense on its heels. And what is he going to do? And he can tuck and run and steal 20 yards really easily. But the one thing that he has struggled with throughout that he needs to improve on, it's the timing passes, the intermediate stuff, the throwing with anticipation on some of those timing routes. That's the stuff that still isn't quite there yet. And that's a skill where in the NFL, it gets leveraged quite a bit. So he's the one where you're still sort of on the line with it. But for me, those are the four guys that would be in that first round discussion right now. People love Carson Beck coming into the year, and some people still do. I'm significantly lower on Carson Beck, and I'm also lower on Quinn Ewers. I was hoping for better for Ewers. You know, the Michigan game, it's like, that looks like a first round pick, but since then it hasn't been quite as good. Of course, he got banged up, but yeah, there's been some struggles there. So Quinn Ewers, that's one to watch this offseason, because if he doesn't feel he's going to go in the first round, and right now I don't think he would, he probably would want to go back to school. It's just Arch Manning and him will not be on the same roster next year. That's not viable. And I think Texas is going to go with Arch Manning. So I think Quinn Ewers could be the big offseason transfer portal acquisition if that's what ends up happening.
I've got a big smile on my face, Thor, because you're going exactly where I wanted to go as we kind of transition from college to draft to pro. The Saints fired their head coach this week. And I know that the 2025 draft is more in our focus than 2026. But could you see a scenario where the Saints are so bad next season with a new regime and a new head coach where Arch Manning goes back to the home of Grandpa and he ends up playing for the Saints after playing for a year at Texas?
How cool would that be? And yeah, it's definitely theoretically possible. The Saints maybe should have kept Dennis Allen to improve their chances of getting that first pick in the 2026 draft. But yeah, the Saints are in a grisly position. Like, you look at their books, that they're capped into oblivion. They have the worst cap situation in the NFL, and they, some of those key players, you know, are getting older, Kamara, et cetera. They're in a bad spot. They can't really add talent, and it is just a badly flawed roster. So yeah, I mean, for me, you spend next off season trying to clear those books. And I mean, this is an unpopular word in NFL circles. I would tank it next year.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what you're doing trying to chase money on that. This roster as constructed is going nowhere. So yeah, you should be gunning for a high pick in 2026. And Arch Manning is going to be starting next year, you know, whether Quinn Ewers declares or not. So, he's in play for it for sure.
Thor, last one from me, and we're going to have a lot of coaching changes here, certainly at the end of the year. What happens at Florida State? I don't think we've had anything like this in our lifetime with a team, you know, putting up their hand, let us play for the national championship. If they lose to Notre Dame, they're 1-9. Is Norvell safe in Florida State, Thor?
Yeah, it's bad. I can't recall anything like this either, with the wheels falling off like that. And, you know, they lost a lot of NFL talent, sure, but it's like they have transfer portal resources, and the fact that they came into this season with the roster that they did, it's pretty inexcusable. I would imagine that Norvell bought himself one more year by the undefeated regular season they had last year. I also wouldn't blame Florida State for pulling the plug on him. The scenario that I want, now this is pie in the sky and unrealistic, and it's assuredly not going to happen, but I would love it for Florida State to fire Norvell and to hire Mr. Coach Prime.
Yeah.
Bring him home, bring him back to the alma mater of Florida State. I mean, how cool would that be? And all the hype around that, you know, everywhere Deion goes and every time they play, you know, there's a lot of hullabaloo with it. And going to a school like that where you have legitimate resources and you're in a recruiting hotbed as well, you're talking about a guy who's one of the best recruiters in America, no matter what you think about him. I think that would be fascinating. Now, do I think it's going to happen? No. I do expect Norvell to get one more year, but I also would not quibble at all with him getting fired. I mean, what happened this year is utterly inexcusable.
Thor, we've spent a lot of time this week, of course, talking about the Bills traveling to Indianapolis to take on the Colts. And before we let you go, I just wanted to get your take on Anthony Richardson, their handling of Anthony Richardson, the lack of reps that he got, not just at Florida, but now in the NFL, and what his long-term projection could be as an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, I thought it was an utter disgrace. You know, you take a guy where we talked, you know, in his pre-draft process, it's like this guy has arguably the best physical tools of any quarterback we've ever seen come into the league, but he's crazy, crazy raw. He needs a year, right? Like, and they decide to throw him into the fire right away, which that's fine. You know, I mean, like, he hadn't started as many games in college, even in high school, he didn't start as many games. So there was more of the limited sample there. But, you know, so I understood getting him the experience. But in doing that, in making that pick and then that decision, you have to go forward with it. You can't pull the plug on him, and that's essentially what they've done here. It's you bought the ticket, but now you don't want to take the ride when you're in the reality of it. And what I truly don't understand about it, it's like, Colts, you're not a Super Bowl contender. You might not even make the playoffs, but like if you do, like you're making this move to potentially make a run into getting smoked in the first round. Like, it just seems like an organization that doesn't have a realistic opinion of itself and did not go through with what, you know, anyone would have suggested was the prudent plan with Anthony Richardson. I'm hoping that they didn't break Anthony Richardson, because those tools are still fascinating. You know, just the absolute bazooka and the incredible athlete in that huge package. I'm hoping that he hasn't been broken by this, but it's tough. You know, it's starting to look like the, you know, kind of like a Trey Lance kind of thing on a guy who didn't have as much experience coming in. He had the tools, and he just didn't, you know, through circumstance early on, get the experience in order to polish that off. And I don't like the road that this is going down with Anthony Richardson.
Thor Nystrom, tell everybody about Fantasy Life and what you got cooking over there.
Yeah, come and check us out at Fantasy Life. Every week I have my top 10 college football bets on there. You can find my models and my projection system that have updated win totals for the teams throughout. We put those up on Monday for the end of the season. You know, every single week you can see my projected spreads for every game that is yet to be played. And you have that. And then we have a live show Saturday starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. For 90 minutes, where we handicap all the big games, give our best player props of the day, and then also answer audience questions. So that's on the Matthew Berry Fantasy Life YouTube channel.
Doing a great job, man. Appreciate the time, and keep up the great work. Let's talk again soon.
Always good talking to you boys.
There he is, the great Thor Nystrom, stopping by the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia, giving us his favorite plays from this weekend in college football.
So much we can go back to, but can we go back to Norvell and Florida State? Because if they're 1-9, tell me what the comp is for this in college football where, hey, here's a team that's a national contender. Oh my gosh, they're one of the worst teams in the country. How do you not move them off of him and just open up the pathway for Coach Prime to come in?
It's a fascinating storyline to watch. And you wonder if Coach Prime, once Shador gets into the NFL, if that's something that he's thinking about, right? Like, that's something that he recognizes.
Timing is perfect.
Yeah, the timing does work out pretty nicely for that. I love that. I love the narrative of the timing of Arch Manning potentially ending up in New Orleans. I think it's fantastic. I love that Thor didn't splash any cold water on that idea, the idea that they should tank next year just to ensure that the grandson of Archie Manning is playing in the Superdome. Just great stuff from Thor. Always love catching up with him. He's got strong opinions, too, on what they've done there in Indianapolis. We should talk a little bit more about that when we get to Happy Hour.
Yeah,
gosh.
Is there any cause for concern because it's the Colts and normally talking and taking in a lot of the opinions of Bills fans, everybody gets nervous and jerky about this opponent. I'm not detecting any of that with the Colts here. It's a team, the Colts, that hasn't allowed a team to beat them by double digits this year. They've been all one-score games here. So what is it? Or we have it right here. Don't worry about this one.
Well, I don't think you should worry about this one. If I'm a Colts fan, and after talking to our guy from the Locked On Colts podcast, Jake Arthur, yesterday, I mean, I don't get the sense that they're an organization right now that is 100% aligned, that everybody is moving in the right direction. There may be some factions. There may be some misalignment there between ownership, management, coaching, locker room.
I'm not telling tales out of school. This has been widely reported. You know, like there was some, like it's on the police report that there were, this was going back to last December with Ursay. It was a drug overdose. So, you know, he's fine now. Everything's fine. But that's where it kind of starts, in my opinion. You know, like ownership at the top down to this. And it's also a fan base, too, that, okay, are they really going to be the 12th man for the Colts this week?
Disinterested. Yeah. They're probably a very disinterested fan base right now. They've got other things that can satiate their craving for quality sports entertainment, including Caitlin Clark, including the Hoosiers, including Notre Dame. So, yeah, I wonder what that environment is going to be like, especially if the Bills get off to an early lead. If they come out with a quick start, what does that look like? We'll dissect more of Sunday's game next during Happy Hour. We'll give our predictions next during Happy Hour. We'd love to hear from you next during Happy Hour as well. If you've got a prediction for Sunday, 585-866-4FAN is our phone number. 866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.